When we look at the old people in the Old Testament, you can see the heart of people with faith toward God. And also if you look at the steps of those people, everything they needed was filled by God. And of course, when we say they were greatly blessed by God, sometimes we have no choice but to see on the physical perspective, like they were very wealthy and their sheep produced many lambs. Since we have physical body, there's not many ways to express the blessing. But these chiefs of faith in the Old Testament, even though they were greatly blessed by God, still their focus was not on the materialistic things. Their hope was not on this earth, but rather their hope was toward heaven. Why was it so? Because they met God. That is why they always longed for the place to be truly with God. We cannot live in this earth forever. We are just mere sojourners. It means we are going to live only for a while, not for a long time. Try to compare the life on this earth and try to compare the life in heaven, which is eternal. So if you think about it mathematically, if you compare 1,000 to indefinite, that 1,000 becomes zero. If you only look at the things of the world, it seems tremendous, but if they are compared with the things in the heaven, they're nothing. Even if you live here on this earth 1,000 or 10,000 years, everyone is destined to die once, and afterward there's judgment by God. And that life on the earth, when it's compared with indefinite life in heaven, that is turned into zero, which means it's nothing compared to the life of in heaven. So in that sense, material on this earth can never become a true hope for the people of faith. And all the steps the people of faith walked throughout the Old Testament, God greatly blessed them for the sake of world evangelization. They always had a deep heart and joy toward their salvation. And that is why their hope was not on the things of the world, but rather it was on the things of heaven. If you put your purpose of life on things, on your food, or on family, of course, that is the right thing. But that focus is not on God. It does not go along with the flow of God. When God looked at Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, he saw that center of heart, and God fulfilled his covenant through those people. So, reading the Old Testament, that kind of makes us to walk their steps as well. That is, reading the Bible is very important. Even though the sermon on the pulpit and the message of the trainings are so important, it has to go along with the stream of the Bible so that you can do God's work out in the field. Otherwise, hollowness or emptiness can get in your way. God knows, Satan knows, the world knows that you may say a lot of other things, but what is in your true deep center of heart, everyone knows it. Where your focus or where your priority is. If you think, oh, I am a child of God and all my focus is on the things of God, on God's salvation and on the things of the heaven, and that could become a tunnel for God to work. All these people that I discovered that I read about in the Old Testament, including David, like for example, Book of Psalms, that really brings peace into my heart. Why? Because so many people, including you and me, we are all centered on physical things, on materialistic things. But if you look at the prayer of David, if you carefully look at it, it's all about one thing. It's all about God. He always seeks God. He always desires for God. He always longs for God. And that is what writer of Psalm is all about. The most distressful things for the writer of the Psalms was that he feared that God might leave him. And of course, the Holy Spirit dwells within us forever. Holy Spirit never leaves us. But more than that, there are so many times where we go against the Holy Spirit, where we defy the Holy Spirit and make him upset. We carry that kind of center of our heart most of the time. The Lord says he's going to be with us. He's going to walk with us. That means we don't need ourselves in order to walk with God. You know, What disturbs, what hinders the world evangelization is not our surroundings, is not Satan, is us. We say that we are doing God's work, but in reality, we are going against the work of God so much. It's just we are not aware of it. You know, the Holy Spirit is not in the first place. We always are in the first place. It's like we want to do this work, and I want to receive all the glory to myself. If that continues for the lifelong, that becomes your nature. And when do you come to your senses? Right before your death. Right before you breathe your last breath, that's when you truly confess and repent before God. You know, there are so many people like that. There are so many believers out there like this. We cannot live like this. As you read the book of Psalms, to me, I no longer had the prayer topic. I no longer had my wishes. It feels like I really did understand what the gospel is. Really, reading the Bible, the more I read the Bible, the more I don't need my own prayer topics. You know why? Because all my wishes were never granted, not even once in my life. Nothing came to fulfillment. That is why I don't want anything anymore. But sometimes, even though I feel that I do have the nature of the gospel, whenever I get upset, I get really angry at my wife, and all my Genesis chapter 3 comes out from time to time. Even though people say that I have a good manners, but to my family, I do not really actually have a good manners toward them. I really hurt the feelings of my children so many times. My wife, when my wife tried to nag at me, you know, I have to accept it very well because she is helping me out. But I throw my tantrums at them, you know, really often. So I always try to come before God with my true self. You know, the fundamental root of all people is that for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God, that is the current state of everyone. So I myself fundamentally cannot become a joy to God. There is only one answer. Just one thing is left in the midst of all many situations. The one thing left, which is the confession by Thomas in today's passage. Thomas was the one who did not really believe in the resurrection of Jesus. I would not have believed it too, because it sounds so impossible, isn't it? Dying on the cross, that is understandable. Why? Because we see death so many every day, but we have not seen a single case where a person is resurrected. Of course, Jesus is such a wonderful teacher, but he's dead on the cross. How come he's resurrected again? So he found it totally unbelievable. But Jesus, after resurrection, appeared himself in front of Thomas. Disciples of Jesus and other women said that they saw Jesus who is resurrected, but Thomas did not believe it. But Jesus appeared. And Jesus showed his hand and said, "I am Jesus who's resurrected in which you're doubting. That I am that Jesus." And Thomas confessed at the time, "My Lord, my God." Everyone here, you also confessed that Jesus is Christ. Really a lot. But whenever I hear this kind of confession, I ask myself, do they really mean it? If you look at the confession of Thomas, it was not a simple confession. Thomas followed after Jesus for 3 years. He always had that disbelief and doubt in his heart, and he could not enter into the covenant. And he is now aware of himself, was full of disbelief and doubt, and now he is in front of Jesus making this true confession from within the deep of his heart. That faith, look at this faith of Thomas right now. God accepted the faith of Thomas, and for the lifetime, for the rest of his life, Thomas was used by God. Inside this Darabang, so many people confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I also, you know, when I did my ministry in the Philippines for more than 10 years, we usually focused on raising the young Korean remnant in the Philippines. You know, we stayed together. You know, usually parents raise their one or two children. But in our case, as missionary, we raised so many remnants all together in mission home for more than 10 years. We nurtured them with the word of God. But I saw so many cases where these young remnants say that they believe, you know, when they're with us, But inside the deep of their heart, they don't believe. They never open up their heart. They are totally seized by evil spirits inside the deep of their heart. They have their own idols in their worship, in themselves, that they love other things, not God. They are not really interested in the gospel. They're so distant from the gospel. They say that the gospel is everything, that they say Jesus is the Christ. But in the critical moment, they always go back to their nature because they're so full of themselves. They love themselves too much. So what they really want, what they want to go after, is sin, corruption. What they really want is the physical pleasure. Gospel has nothing to do with them. It is meaningless to them. That is what man is. So this young remnant, these young children, these young kids, after a few years, after several years, they make true confession, which means they're always being deceived by themselves. You know, the only wish that Satan has towards you is that you can go to church, but for the lifetime, never open your heart. Just pretend like that you believe in Jesus. Pretend like you're a believer. Pretend like you're children of God. And after death, you can come to hell with me. That is the only wish that Satan has. You know, when Satan tries to deceive the person, he does that along with the mutual agreement of the person. So the biggest strategy that Satan uses all the time is that he plows into the blind spot of a person. You know, the dark side of the person where it is full of disbelief. And without taking care of that blind spot, they say, oh, I'm a child of God. I am saved. Oh, I totally understand what the gospel is. But do you think that's true? Most people, you know, read the Bible, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Yes, it is true. As people grow older, they're so used to lying, they're so used to deceiving themselves, they're so used to pretending, that it is so hard for them to be aware that they are the sinners, that it is so difficult for them to believe with their heart. Those kind of people, Satan seizes and drags them all the time. So that is why, if it is not the grace by the Holy Spirit, it is impossible for us to realize that we are the true sinners. One day, at one moment, the Holy Spirit works, that God gives grace, that this person suddenly realizes that he's a true sinner and confesses that God is his Lord. That's what happened to Thomas as well. That Thomas, whose heart was so hardened. But you know what? Even if Jesus, who's resurrected, appears right before you, some people still do not believe. That is how falsehood that people are living in the midst of. We can only believe by the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we can kneel down before the cross, that can be saved. Even though we are living today after 2,000 years after the Jesus is resurrected, you know, it seems so distant time-wise. But still, this moment becomes eternal moment that I can kneel down before the cross of Jesus Christ and become saved. Why? It's all because the Holy Spirit works to us. So everything becomes so simple if you can just believe. But the thing is, people don't believe. I always ask, who am I? Thomas confessed before Jesus Christ, my God, my Lord, that faith is a genuine faith. The moment that you confess Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you have the right to become children of God. This is exactly what's written in the Bible. It's not just calling out the name of God, but truly confess that Jesus is the Christ with all your heart, with all your life. Then can the force of darkness be broken down. We call them as children of God. This becomes the start of your life. And have you already had this kind of start of your life? So my conclusion is this. When I give a sermon on the pulpit, I'm not just saying it so that people can hear it, but I'm proclaiming this message toward the deep inside of the souls of the people. So proclamation, true proclamation toward the deep souls of the people, that is striking on the head of Satan. Well, you know what? When people come to church in the morning of the Lord's Day, the Satan already has the strategy for each person. that Satan already has strategy and plan for each person when you come to church already. You know, this force of darkness, this Satan always follows after you. And Satan will just laugh at you, you know, even if you sit inside the church. But God does not leave you alone. God gives you the message with intervention of the Holy Spirit so that we can strike on the head of Satan with the message proclaimed on the pulpit that Satan can never expect. So many experiences so far, this is something that I've actually realized myself. Even though I cannot say that I'm the standard of the sermon, but still, I believe that I am actually quite good at it, you know, proclaiming this message that people to strike on the head of Satan that Satan can never expect, giving the message that Satan can never expect. This is something only God can do. Evangelism is also something that God does. Who touches the spirit of the people? That is something only God can do. When God works upon the soul and the spirit and the heart and mind of the people, they can actually come to their senses and realize that it's grace of God. So for me, even though people do not acknowledge my work, of course it should not be acknowledged by people because that glory all comes to me. People recognizing my sermon, my work, it doesn't really matter to me. Receiving all the glory while living on this earth and going to heaven, there's no reward for me. How pathetic is that? You know, Jesus once gave a parable about building a house. Jesus meant that by building a house in the heaven. Jesus said, if you build a house on the rock, that will never be broken down. And if you look at John chapter 14, Jesus said that he will prepare a place for us in the heaven. Jesus is our Lord who will prepare a place there. For some people, that the place would be in a really good villa or just the apartment, there's a building. You know, I believe according to the work that you have done on the earth, your reward is prepared in heaven. The more you sweat for the sake of God's work, that reward is prepared in the heaven. Even when you look at the book of Revelation, it is easy to know. It's people who do God's work here. They are already preparing the reward up in the heaven. They are the wise. So living for the sake of flesh, that is such a foolish one. Of course, we all love our children, but is that it? Look at the soul of your child and really check how much your child has understood the gospel with really look deeply in it. So when you say filial piety, you know, being good to your parent, it does make a sense. But it's not really biblical. Why? Because if you look at the Chinese doctrine, the old doctrine, they really emphasize the filial piety. But if you only emphasize that, that is as if killing your parent, killing your children. On the other side, parents should be the one to serve their children so that children can pay that back to their parent. So getting married and giving birth to a child does not make you a full parent. Everyone should enter into the gospel. So please don't be deceived. Just like Thomas confessed, just like Peter confessed. Really, even if it's a small thing, check it if you really mean it or not. The reason why God gives you fall into trials or gives you crisis from time to time is that you can stop everything that moment and look back at yourself and check yourself. You know, there are so many things that I should give thanks to God about. But one of the things is that God has called me as a missionary. I am so thankful for that. Missionaries, they are not called missionaries because they do missions work. Missionaries should have the heart as missionaries. If you look at the advanced nations who send out, who commission out many missionaries, is that they support missionaries no matter what, with the prayers, with the material support, so that these missionaries can raise the true disciples in the field. And they give love. They pay it forward. So that all these missions work can be continued. So, of course, we need many long-term missionaries who can go to a particular place and live there for the rest of their life. But what we need more urgently is that the missionaries who truly have the heart for missions work and go to the place, go to the field, and raise the disciples and move to another place. A short-term missionary. Now, it seems like man is doing this work, but God is the one who feeds his soul. God is the one who raises, who nurtures those souls. It's not man's work. this minister should think about this very carefully. It's not you who evangelizes, it's not you who raises disciples. Things working out or not working out, that is just setting your criteria to yourself. You never know how God's amazing work is being carried out inside. I might be very lacking, I might be nothing, but now I can see what's in the people. Looking at people, I've seen so many cases where God rearranges everything for his own work. Even the lifespan of people, God rearranges it. Even the wealth and honor, fortune and glory, that is all up to God. So I cannot say things easily. I cannot come to a conclusion easily. All I can say is the true confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. As conclusion, when you are being drowned in water, what would you say? Do you have to pray for an hour while we are being drowned in the water? Like, oh my almighty God? No, you don't pray for an hour while you are being drowned in the water. All you have to shout out is, save me. You call out for help. At such a critical time, at such a decisive moment, you say the most important thing. Whenever I miss such heavy crisis, I don't pray a lot. I only think about this important mystery that God has given me. Whenever I meet a person and talk to him for an hour, I sometimes get confused spiritually. Before, I used to pray a lot, just to take that off from me. But nowadays, I don't do that. I just, sit in the Starbucks, drink a cup of coffee, and I plow just a simple prayer, just a short prayer that makes me communion with God, the covenant prayer or the acceptance prayer. Whenever I feel oppressed and I have a difficulty, I'm going through some difficulty, whenever I meet a situation where it's so difficult to understand, whenever I feel like I am being surrounded all this darkness, I'm a kind of person that my face becomes so bright and shiny whenever I feel the Holy Spirit, just like my forehead. But when the darkness attacks me, and whenever I feel I'm not myself anymore, before I used to do fasting prayer, but that's not the answer. What Satan fears the most is the covenant by God. So this is how I pray my covenant prayer. Loving God, I have not known you that well so far. I have not known that Jesus is the Christ. I have misunderstood the Holy Spirit. I have lived according to my way. I accept Jesus Christ, who is the true prophet, who is the true way, life, and the truth. I accept Jesus Christ, who is the true priest, who has solved all my sins. I accept Jesus Christ, who is true king, who has become true king, that has broken down the head of serpent. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now at this time, I pray Jesus Christ as my Savior, as my Lord. Please come to me as the Holy Spirit. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This prayer is special to me. This prayer now is making me very overwhelmed. But doing other prayers so much, this single prayer is way better. Why? Because God said, forsake his kingdom and his work, then all these things will be given to you. That's what God promises. God knows what we need. God knows our situation. God knows our difficulties. God knows everything. So this is the only confession we have to make, this covenant that Jesus is my Lord, that God is my Lord, and that he is with me as the Holy Spirit. So we have to check whether by any chance I am blocking or hindering the work of the Holy Spirit. That is why we need to come back to this really basic covenantal prayer. Then we can be at the peace. Then we'll have no choice but to give true thanksgiving. In the Philippines, I once had a car accident. Right before the departure, getting on the car, I didn't know why, but I was so anxious in my heart. That's at that time, I pulled out my prayer and read this covenant prayer twice and three times. And actually, we made a car accident. The driver had to be hospitalized and the car had to be scrapped. But still, I was not hurt at all. That's how much God protected. The reality was that the car accident happened. It was such a big event. But if you have a true experience just a couple of times, you will never be deceived by your surroundings, by situation, or by people. Then you will always ask God, what his plan is. And also you will give thanksgiving how amazing it is to be saved. Then your identity is that you belong to God, that you're being ruled by the Holy Spirit. So regardless of your capacity, if you just do your best, God will be the one to do the work. And this answer will be applied to